We're in the book of Acts, A-C-T-S. And so if you want to turn there, do so. The book of Acts, which we've been studying, has an interesting title in a lot of your Bibles. Some translations include a title that was recorded. It is the Acts of All of the Apostles. And other translations have it put a little bit different, but if you go back to the original Greek, it's actually just Acts. Acts. That's all it says. And so the further we go into the book, the fewer references we have to the other apostles. And so as we actually look at the whole book, we start off looking at the some of the actions of the Apostle Peter, and then John is included, the Apostle John. And then once we get about halfway through the book of Acts, it turns course and focuses on the Apostle Paul. And how much do we learn about Matthew, Thaddeus, Andrew? Nothing. The rest of the apostles, nothing. So as we go through the book, we do run into several different interesting followers of Jesus Christ. And along the way, we are introduced to some very special believers. Today, we are going to be looking at one of those special believers. We are especially thankful for this believer introduced in our text today. His birth name was like many other first century individuals and like a few people around here today. His name was Joseph. And so that can get a little interesting. Which Joseph are we talking about? Because there were several Josephs scattered through Scripture, and this is another one. Though he's not an apostle, his devotion to Christ was key to strengthening the church and helping prepare one of the most controversial converts to Christianity to become one of the most notable evangelists. If this disciple had failed to exercise his spiritual gifts, some people wonder how in the world would half of our New Testament have been written if this guy had not done his part as being a witness for Jesus Christ and exercising his spiritual gift. Because of the humble faith and service of Joseph, God's plan for the Scripture was completed, and God blessed him and used him mightily in many different ways. We'll find that Joseph was such a positive influence in the early church that the apostles gave him a new name. Some call it a nickname. His name was Barnabas. And we know him by Barnabas, not Joseph. And the word Barnabas literally means son of encouragement. So as we read our text today, and as we talk about Barnabas, consider whether you might reflect his characteristics, his godly characteristics. Barnabas patterned his life after Jesus and displayed some of those valuable traits that we can benefit from as well, that you and I need to practice in our daily living in serving Jesus Christ. Looking at our text, we're going to be reading chapter 4 of Acts, verse 32 through 37. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. But all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each one as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Before we get into discussion of this, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for the book of Acts as well as all of the rest of the Holy Scriptures, that we can read them and learn from them. And I would just ask that your Spirit would touch our hearts and our minds today, motivate us, spur us into further understanding in believing in the Lordship of Jesus and living in His name. Father, as we consider the example of Joseph, Barnabas, help us to consider whether we are fully living up to the call of your Spirit in our life, using whatever gifts you have given to us for your glory, for the glory of Jesus. We pray that those who need to make commitments to you would not delay, but that they would fully surrender to the Lordship of Jesus and to serve Him, honorably glorifying our Redeemer. Be with us now as we open your scriptures, as we consider these words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph, Barnabas, son of encouragement. The first thought I want to deal with is he was a faithful brother serving the Lord. He was a faithful brother serving the Lord. Now, when we start looking at this and start unwrapping the text, we see that Barnabas was a Levite. He was descended from Aaron, the very first high priest of the nation of Israel, who was brother to who? Moses. Man, he's connected with the top-notch people of the ancient history of Israel. This guy must be important, shouldn't he be? He's a Levite. He could trace his family heritage back through the exiles and through the ancestors for at least 1,400 years. That was important in the Jewish culture, especially for the priests to trace their heritage back so they could participate in being the priests. And here we have Joseph, now known as Barnabas. He could do that. As a Levite, Barnabas rejected his status as a priest to follow Jesus. Now, the priests of Israel were supported by the nation and had special privileges as they worked in the temple. But Barnabas, what did he do? He chose to serve Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus over his family ties, over tradition, over all those special privileges. Barnabas did not flaunt his ancestry or his privileges, but he humbled himself as a joint heir of salvation through faith in who? Jesus Christ, God's promised Messiah. He saw that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one to be served. He's the promised one. The one that has been waited for centuries. Jesus deserves to be followed. Jesus was Lord to Joseph the Levite. Every member of the church was united in living for Jesus, we read. And Barnabas was only one of the many faithful disciples who gladly and willingly reached out with the love of Christ to the people around him. Our text tells us, it says that every church member shared the possessions that they had with their fellow believers. All things were in common. Everybody was taken care of. All were cared for. The sharing of the possessions was totally voluntary, and it was motivated by agape love. Where do we learn about agape love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and Barnabas was practicing that along with all the rest of the church, showing love for one another, unselfish love, the godly love, not expecting anything back, but just giving because somebody else needed some help, and he had the resources. And he wasn't the only one. It was the whole church family. They were all unselfish with God's love, guarding their hearts, guiding their hearts, blessing their hearts. The Holy Spirit blessed Barnabas with the gift of encouragement, we learn, which he utilized as frequently, so frequently that the apostles gave him his name, Barnabas. It's a nickname, but it's a truthful name, and he lived up to it. Instead of using his actual name of Joseph. Now, my parents were rock hounders. I grew up in southwest Idaho. Idaho is known as the Gem State. I was going to try to pull up a picture, but we used to go looking for thunderheads. Does anybody know what? Or thunderstones. Thunderstones is what we call them. Thunderstones. They're actually technically called geodes. These are formations that come out of a volcanic eruption of the minerals, and a lot of them have openings in the center, or sometimes they're fully developed inside with beautiful, beautiful colors or crystals. This one was a dud. That's why I ended up with it. I got the dud. But we used to go looking for these thunderstones or thunder eggs. We had different names for them, but the technical term was geodes. There's other interesting things that come out of the earth, aren't there? Because inside of a lot of different formations, there are beautiful things. Barnabas was one of those guys who made lemonade out of sour lemons. Barnabas was one of those who reminded the church during the dreary cold April showers that there's going to be some May flowers. And Barnabas was one of those who knew that God could transform ugly black coal lives through life's heat and pressures and processes and trials into beautiful diamonds. And there we have a coal with a rough diamond stuck in it. Isn't that amazing that coal, through enough pressure and heat, can become a diamond? Black, ugly, crystal clear. And that's what God does with lives if you allow Him to transform you, to cut you, to shape you in a beautiful, useful, valuable resources. Barnabas was one of those who had been cut and shaped by God, and he learned how to help others become the potential, the full potential that God had made them to be. Thank God for Barnabas and others like him. Amen. A faithful brother serving the Lord. Moving on to our second point in the message is God's love in Barnabas led him to sacrificially give. We've already touched on it already. He took to heart the very teachings of Jesus, including his statement we read from the Gospel of John this morning, that we're all supposed to love one another. Isn't that wonderful? We all just love each other fully and completely, right? We're always perfect at it, right? Yeah, some days it gets a little trialed and a little hard, isn't it? My wife knows me pretty good after all these years of marriage, and some days she just rolls her eyes at me, David. And some of you kind of roll your eyes at each other once in a while, don't you? But we love each other because God has taught us to love. Let me turn over to Luke chapter 6, verse 36 through 38, and read these verses. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 through 38. Jesus taught us, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Of course, this is just one of the many statements of Jesus. Living in gracious kindness towards other people, loving other people, helping other people, looking past that rough scaly outside and seeing the gem within them that God can turn them into be the wonderful servants that God would want them to be. Jesus was the master of the heart of Barnabas. Everything in his care belonged to his Savior. Barnabas realized that the Lord owned everything and that whatever he had in his possession, he was just a manager. And it was to be used for the honor of Jesus. This Levite willingly looked for ways to show Christ's love. And he's looking around the church and he says, you know, I've got a piece of property. I don't need that anymore. But I see several people who could use some help. And he went out and sold it and brought all that money, laid it at the apostles' feet and says, use this for the good of Jesus Christ. Help the church out. Barnabas knew that he was just one part of the body of Christ. If one part suffered, the scripture tells us that how many parts suffer? All of us. All suffered. But when the entire body takes care of all the rest of the body, then the entire body is strong and healthy. The Apostle Paul later writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 16, using those terms, that analogy, that we are a one body and that we need to help each other, that we need to protect those who are weak, the strong helping the weak. And Barnabas took this to heart. Barnabas considered his possessions as a resource to help others who were in need. It wasn't his, it was for the glory of Christ. And the text notes that several people were selling their properties and giving the proceeds to help each other in need. Barnabas was just one of the many who were giving. Now we're going to see in the next chapter a couple who thought they could trick God, trick the Holy Spirit, and they tried to get glory for themselves. But Barnabas was not like that. He wasn't concerned about having people's interest on him. He just wanted to love people and help people in need, along with several others who were doing the same. The greatest love is to give your life for the good of others, just as Jesus stated in John chapter 15, verse 13. No greater love has any man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus said, you are my friends if you follow my commands. That's a great thing to know. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, had called us his friends if we follow him, if we serve him. And Barnabas was one of those who was willing to give everything, even his life. Barnabas not only gave his possessions, but he obeyed the Spirit's call to become a missionary later on, laying his life at the cross as he spoke about the new life of Jesus Christ. We find that in Acts chapter 13. True Christians are willing to give sacrificially to the work of Christ. Whatever Jesus calls us to do, if Jesus says, I'll do it. I used to sing a song, wherever he leads me, I will follow. Are we willing to go any place, anywhere, anytime the Spirit leads us? Barnabas was. He was ready to go. Barnabas submitted to the guidance of God's Spirit, we find in this last portion of this message. He received the same Spirit of God that every believer is given at their baptism, as promised in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He obeyed the directions. He obeyed the urgings of the Spirit. And God was honored through that effort. The Holy Spirit grows the nature of God with the fruit of the Spirit in those who follow Him. Now, you've heard me refer to the fruit of the Spirit many times. Does anybody remember where we find that at? Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Fruit of the Spirit is patience, kindness, goodness. It is faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. Okay, I'll get back into control here. Do we love Jesus? Do we allow those fruit to blossom, to grow in our lives, to reach out to those who are around us? Barnabas did. He allowed that Spirit to function in him, to be an encouragement to the people around him. Those who love God gladly live in these fruit, allow this fruit to blossom and to grow in their lives and to be picked by the people around them, for others to benefit from the goodness coming from them. The fruit needs to be evident in every one of us. All of the fruit. So if you're a little weak in some area of those blessings, those qualities of the Spirit, fertilize your life. Put some scripture into your life. Grow the fruit of God. Barnabas was a good man because he reflected Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the good Savior. He's the good Shepherd. And he serves the good God Almighty. There's a contemporary song about that. Good God Almighty. You heard that one? I'm not going to sing it. I don't know all the words. Jesus reminded the rich young ruler that only God is good. We find that in Luke chapter 18. But we believe that Jesus is God, and by His power, He makes us good. He transforms us to become like Him in His nature. Barnabas had allowed God to transform his life, his nature. 3 John chapter 1, verse 11 says, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. So let's be imitators of good, because good is from God. Barnabas was a very great worker for Jesus. That is part of the reason the apostles renamed him. He has already been very active in the church family at this point. And the lives of the apostles, along with the whole church, had been affected by his uplifting, by his encouragement of the brethren. And he continues to become one of the most influential leaders in the early church and an evangelist, a preacher. Do you think he started out thinking, I'm going to be a preacher of the gospel? Probably not. He was just trying to serve God, just trying to do what was good. And God used him eventually, because God saw his potential. God saw the diamond inside of his heart that he was capable of becoming. Barnabas was enabled to see the potential in other people, in their service in Christ. The coming chapters reveal this gift. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, after Saul, the persecutor of the church, became a Christian, it was Barnabas who took him in and trusted him and presented him to the apostles. In Acts chapter 11, verse 20 and following, it's Barnabas who is sent to the church, a brand new church up in the city of Antioch. A bunch of Gentiles had become believers. Who are we going to send to help those people? Let's send Barnabas. He can help them. He can see those people's hearts and work through the outer roughness and bring out the beauty of the gem in those people. In Acts chapter 15, it was Barnabas who stands up in defense of a young boy who had deserted the first missionary trip. His name was John Mark. And Barnabas says, I want to take John Mark with me. He needs a second chance. He's quality material. And Paul said, no way, I'm not going with that little brat. Barnabas said, I'm staying with him. And what happened with John Mark? He grew. He matured. He wrote the book of Mark, and he became a close helper and associate of the Apostle Paul, who didn't want to put up with him at first. Barnabas saw through the roughness and saw what he could be. Barnabas, son of encouragement. Barnabas was fully surrendered to Christ and was greatly used for the good of Jesus Christ as he obeyed the guidance of the Holy Spirit in him. Barnabas didn't serve Jesus for his own glory, but for the glory of our Savior. He was faithful and ready to serve no matter what the time was, what the cost was, or where the location was. He was a good role model for us today. Will we walk in the steps of Barnabas? Be an encourager, a helper, one who loves the brethren, one who loves those who are still weak and helps them to grow and mature. You and I have the good news of eternal life and salvation. Let's do our part in finding ways to help the people around us. No, not everybody's perfect. Did you look in the mirror lately? God was gracious to us, and we need to learn how to be gracious to the people around us, just like Barnabas was. Look past the outer shell of the people and consider the potential that they have that God can use for His glory. What kind of a beautiful gem can God make from their lives? We're commanded in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Barnabas was one of those. He looked past the bad rubble, the roughness on the outside, and helped develop the gemstone of a heart devoted to Jesus. Let's be known not as a discourager, but as an encourager for the glory of Jesus Christ, and be known as sons and daughters of encouragement. Barnabas, I don't know what the feminine is of that, but let's be encouragers. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, as we examine our hearts and our lives, help us to openly examine all parts of our lives. If we have been a discouragement in some way, and negative in some way, help us to find ways of being the individuals who help promote all that is good, right, true, pure, righteous, holy in your eyes. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters who are already in the midst of all this beauty, allowing you to use them. But help us to look in the crooks and the cracks and the crevices of our life and clean out all the corruption to be fully used by you. We pray that your love will show and shine through us, that we can lead others to life and salvation in Jesus Christ, the one who truly transforms us. We thank you that Jesus died for us, conquered the grave in our behalf, and that he's coming again to glorify all those who walk with him. Let us be found faithful. Be with us as we go from here to let you shine through us, that we would always speak your name in righteousness, in holiness, and as the Savior for all humanity. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.